Imagine a world where the Bible's forgotten women speak, where their whispers, once lost between verses dominated by patriarchs and prophets, suddenly rise to a chorus. The red tent creates exactly this revolution. In the biblical account, Dinah appears only briefly as Jacob's daughter, defined solely by violation and the bloody vengeance her brothers enacted in her name. But what if she had a voice? What if her story wasn't about being silenced, but about finding profound strength in the sacred spaces women created for themselves? This reimagining transforms a footnote in Genesis into an epic journey through the hidden corridors of ancient womanhood, where monthly blood wasn't shameful, but sacred, where childbirth wasn't punishment, but power, and where women's knowledge passed unbroken through generations, despite history's determined efforts to erase it. The red tent itself stands as both literal space and powerful metaphor, a crimson-hued sanctuary where the women of Jacob's tribe retreat during menstruation and childbirth. Within these fabric walls, something revolutionary happens. Women speak freely. They share remedies for ailments, interpret each other's dreams, and pass down songs that preserve their collective memory. Here, they worship goddesses alongside Abraham's God, maintaining spiritual practices that honor feminine divine power. Had I been asked to speak, Dinah tells us, I would have begun with the generation that raised me. This statement reveals the novel's heart, reclaiming women's stories from history's margins. I had four mothers, Dinah tells us, establishing the novel's radical departure from biblical account. Rather than rivals competing for Jacob's favor, Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah form a sisterhood that nurtures Dinah and shapes her understanding of womanhood. Leah, Dinah's birth mother, embodies practical leadership. Despite being the unloved wife, she manages the household efficiently and bears most of Jacob's sons. Leah gave birth and arrogance, Dinah observes, acknowledging her mother's fertility and pride. Rachel, the beautiful, beloved wife, represents healing wisdom as a skilled midwife. Her infertility humanizes her beauty, revealing how women's worth is often reduced to reproductive capacity. Zilpah introduces spirituality and storytelling, preserving traditions honoring female deities. Zilpah made me think, Dinah says. Bilhah teaches compassion through listening, creating space for others' stories. Dinah's journey unfolds in a cultural borderland where diverse traditions intersect. As the only daughter among 12 sons, she moves between male and female spaces, learning both shepherding and domestic arts. The red tent becomes central to her development, marking her transition to womanhood with rituals celebrating female fertility, a celebration contrasting sharply with Jacob's discomfort with female biology. When Dinah meets Prince Shalem in Shechem's marketplace, their attraction challenges her tribe's sacred practices. Their relationship defies Jacob's family's strict endogamy, where marriages preserved bloodlines and tribal alliances. By choosing Shalem, a foreigner and unbeliever, Dinah claims her sexual autonomy. Their passionate encounters celebrate female desire without shame. We made love with great tenderness, Dinah recalls. These scenes transform a tale of violation into one of mutual desire and respect. The cultural clash emerges through Renefer, Shalem's Egyptian-born mother. In her world, women enjoy greater freedom, own property, and participate in religious life. Renefer arranges the marriage according to her customs, bypassing Jacob and challenging Hebrew patriarchal authority. Jacob's demand that all Shechemite men undergo circumcision turns a sacred covenant into a weapon of cultural dominance. The brothers' massacre of the recovering Shechemites reveals how patriarchy uses violence to control women's bodies. Dinah's choice to love across cultural boundaries threatens the entire system her brothers are determined to maintain. The central tragedy occurs when Dinah's brothers Simon and Levi murder her husband and massacre Shechem's men while they recover from circumcision. This biblical footnote expands into an exploration of how religious fundamentalism masks toxic masculinity. The brothers' violence stems from their inability to accept Dinah's sexual autonomy and their father's diminished authority. The massacre unfolds with unflinching detail. The brothers wait until the men are most vulnerable, transforming vengeance into treachery. The streets run red as they methodically kill not just Shellum, but every male they encounter. Covered in her husband's blood, Dinah curses her family. Jacob shall never know peace again. He will lose what he treasures and repudiate those he should embrace. This represents Dinah reclaiming her voice and moral authority. The blood becomes both symbol of trauma and transformation, marking her forever separate from her family. Dinah's rejection is absolute. She flees to Egypt with her mother-in-law rather than return to the Red Tent. This exile represents both trauma and liberation. Through this pivotal event, we see how women's bodies become battlegrounds for male honor and tribal identity, paralleling countless women whose autonomy has been sacrificed to male pride and religious orthodoxy. In Egypt, Dinah discovers she carries Shalem's child, a connection to her murdered husband and source of hope. When Renefer claims the child as her own, renaming him Ramos, Dinah accepts this arrangement, knowing her son will have greater opportunities as an Egyptian prince than as a foreign midwife's child. Egypt offers women more freedom than Canaan. Dinah observes how husbands and wives sat side by side, speaking to one another, even touching, impossible to imagine in my parents' home, highlighting cultural differences. Through midwifery, Dinah rebuilds her life. Her work becomes her salvation, connecting her with other women and giving her purpose. I was not unhappy, she reflects, finding contentment in her garden, her son, and her growing reputation. When Joseph arrives as Pharaoh's advisor, Dinah confronts her past. Their reunion is complex. Joseph represents the family that betrayed her, yet wasn't directly involved in the massacre. Dinah's romance with carpenter Benia represents ultimate healing. Their relationship, built on mutual respect and shared grief, contrasts with both her passionate first love and her mother's patriarchal marriages. We had everything we needed in each other, she reflects. As an elderly woman, Dinah reflects on her journey from Jacob's daughter to respected Egyptian midwife. When she reveals the truth to her adult son, Remos, his rejection wounds her deeply. Yet she finds peace in speaking her truth, understanding that the telling matters more than its reception. Dinah's legacy lives not through sons carrying her bloodline, but through hundreds of women whose births she attended and stories she preserved. Her life represents countless women whose experiences were deemed unworthy of recording. These women maintained their wisdom through whispered conversations, shared rituals, and the bonds of female community. The Red Tent emerges as a powerful metaphor for alternative historical narrative, a sacred space where women's experiences are honored rather than erased. The novel challenges us to create contemporary Red Tents where historically silenced voices can be valued. If you sit on the bank of a river, you see only a small part of its surface, Dinah tells us. History remains incomplete without women's perspectives. By reimagining Dinah's voice, we're invited to consider what other women's stories might be recovered from history's margins and how our own might one day connect women across millennia.